Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's hook up with Charles Robinson, our buddy from Yahoo Sports, and talk NFL. You rolled around the West Coast and went to several camps. It's good to have you back on the bench. Let's start with Seattle and that fight you saw break out at their camp. Everybody likes seeing training camp fights. It's more interesting than the stupid training camps and those meaningless preseason games where all the star players get injured and lose their season.
Yeah, it's always interesting, particularly when you get out to Seattle, because I swear there's at least one fight. You know, there's usually multiple scrums in Seattle over the course of the preseason, and then, you know, there'll be like one legit fight every preseason, and I just happened to be there. This was a pretty shocking one, though. You know, I think it was weird to me that people just sort of passed it off because, well, geez, football is a violent sport and guys get into training camp fights. I think just because there was no video of it, it wasn't a story it would have been had there been video of it. I mean, Frank Clark he straight up decked Terrain Effetti, and it was pretty much as bad as anything you could see in terms of a guy landing a blow to a guy's face. And it was very spirited afterward, and you know, Pete Carroll obviously was upset, but of all the franchises where you see stuff like that happen, I mean, Seattle's such an alpha world, and that locker room is just so many A personalities in there that it's almost not even surprising when you see things like that happen.
You know, you got a great quote from Sherman where he talked about the team that people have been waiting for their demise. They're going to have to keep waiting. We're tough to deal with. We've been here for so long that and in the spotlight that people assume we're past our prime, but none of us are even 30 yet. We've got 3-4 years of prime left. He may be right.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, definitely. You look at the defense, and remember, they're accentuating that defense with younger players. Frank Clark is entering, year three? Jaron Reed, the guy that they think is really going to blossom this year. I mean, their defensive front, particularly that line, is insane. It's as loaded as a line has been in a really long time, just in terms of potential top-tier talent. You could potentially have, you know, Pro Bowlers who are on the bench, you know, coming in and rotating in for them. It's that kind of a front. But offensively, you know, it's a different story. They're still struggling to get that offensive line put together. That's kind of the Achilles it was last year. I don't know that they know they've solved it yet. And they signed Luke Jokel, you know, basically for a year out of Jacksonville. And he wasn't very good in Jacksonville. So we'll see if the line comes together. But defensively, I agree with Sherman. I don't think they're really out of their prime yet. I think there's still enough time there with the stars and then the young guys coming in that have breathed some additional life in that defensively they should be a great team for another 3-4 years.
Charles Robinson with us from Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. So with Wilson, you know, he played all banged up last year. How's he doing now, and how do you think he'll do this year?
He looks good, healthy. He's sharp in practice. You know, offensively, the pieces there, the backfield, they still got to sort it out. You'd like to see Thomas Rawls actually play an entire season and not get hurt. And, you know, they've got a rotation in the backfield that I think they feel pretty good about. Eddie Lacy looks heavy again. I mean, I don't know if he made his last weigh-in or not. I couldn't really get an answer for that. But, you know, Eddie Lacy is, I think, going to be a weight management guy as long as he's there. But I also think they're not looking at Eddie Lacy going, hey, we've got to give you, you know, 20 carries a game or anything like that. But I do think this is a team that, unless Jimmy Graham has got something really special left in the tank, and I just don't know if that's the case, I could see this being a team that is a very run-heavy offense to protect Russ and, you know, playing a lot of games close defensively. It's a poor division. They have a weak schedule this year again, and really even running the football with defense, it should be a 10-win team at minimum.
So I thought your article was great on Jerry Jones. What was it like sitting down with him for an hour and talking about his career. And I mean, I read it, and you talk about him, you know, buying the team for $140 million and frankly turning it into the most profitable team in sports, $14 billion just juggernaut, as you call it, and that he's this alpha leader of all billionaires in the NFL. What was it like hanging out with him for an hour?
It was illuminating. You know, it's interesting to listen to him talk about the start because it's so different than how he really gets portrayed now as sort of being this, you know, the hustler, the hip shooter, the guy who's always got three fingers of Jack Daniels and, you know, kind of slick and the deal maker. And you talk to him about the beginning and he admits like it, he at one point said it felt like a ship launching in the nose of the ship going into the ocean and just sitting there waiting, going, is the nose going to come up? Or am I done? Am I finished? And to hear sort of the doubt that he clearly had and he expresses so freely is pretty interesting. It's a lot easier to do that when, you know, you've got the most profitable team in the NFL that's worth more than any North American franchise. But it was – Jerry is often very honest in those situations. I think you can challenge him. And I thought to me what was probably his most poignant moment was just asking him, are you comfortable being thought of as – the leader of all these other billionaires in that room. And he kind of pushed back on that and said, I'm not trying to be the leader of everyone, but I'm trying to make it uncomfortable for everyone. And what he meant was anytime he does something, whether it's build a stadium, sign a sponsorship deal, get involved in marketing, he tries to always take it a little further than anybody else, 10%, 20% further. And I think he looks around that room and he looks at the other owners and challenges them to keep up.
So at one point he was paying $100,000 a day in interest on the team. And then I can't believe he turned it into a $4 billion franchise. It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the money financially that he had dedicated to the franchise was just unbelievable. And as you said, $100,000 a day in interest at one point, he had borrowed so much money. It was funny. After the story ran, I had a longtime league executive read this story, and he was kind of laughing. And, you know, he texted me and he talked about how there were times when you would go there for a game or whatever, or you would be in the facilities, and there were utilities shut off in areas of the facilities early on because Jerry literally was trying to save money any way he possibly could. So think about that. There was a time where Jerry Jones was telling people to turn the lights off.
That's crazy. What did you think, Charles Robinson? He was cruising the West Coast teams. What did you think when you spent some time with the Raiders and seeing them with their quarterback's leg healthy again, and then to see Marshawn Lynch running around with that team?
Marshawn's in shape. I was pretty surprised by, or at least in my mind, is the last time I saw Marshawn, he was definitely heavier than he is right now. He looked pretty good to me physically. I think that he's a guy, if it's a hot hand situation, I could see them really giving him a lot of the load. But I also think they have designs on a postseason run and would like to have him fresh the second half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they work his load early on in the season and keep him healthy. And then, you know, Carr looked good. I think he's sort of even though he got all the money, I still think Carr, and despite the statistics he's put up the last couple of years, I still think he's in a growth phase. I think they know that, but it is really just entering his prime and, you know, could conceivably get better. It's going to be about the pass rush for them. They've got Khalil Mack. Everyone talks about that. And geez, he could get 30 sacks, but they know defensively that if they can't balance it out and find someone opposite Khalil Mack, he's going to become a focal point of opposing offenses. And that's going to be a problem. And they're looking at the corner saying either you're going to have to hold it up or someone's going to have to surface opposite Khalil to be a pass rush threat, because we can't sit here and manufacture it all season long. So that, to me, is really what they're trying to work out in the preseason.
What do you think? So you went and saw the Rams, I'm guessing. What is it going to be like for the next few years, do you think, for them as they, frankly, struggle, I believe, and wait for this – the Shangri-La Stadium to be built that they're going to share right with the Chargers. Aren't they kind of in flux? And they got this young quarterback who he's really learning the hard way. And just a team that looks like, you know, for the next few years, it would appear to me they're going to stink.
Well, they, I'll say this. Sean McVay came in, and pretty quickly they moved to get rid of some players on the roster who they felt were not either hard workers or were not going to be part of the program, you know, going forward, weren't going to be, I guess, really on board with what McVay's message was in terms of, look, being there for every workout, studying, bringing stuff from the classroom, being smart enough to not repeatedly make mistakes. So you saw guys like, you know, Kenny Britt was a guy they were never going to bring back into the fold, and he was arguably their best receiver last year. You saw Greg Robinson. They just got tired of Greg Robinson failing over and over again, and he was going to hurt someone, I think they felt. And they go out and they sign an Andrew Whitworth, and they go, this is our anchor. He's older. We're probably only going to get two, you know, prime years out of him. But that's the way they're approaching this, that they need to find real anchors, guys that are some veterans that can work and show guys how the game should work. But, you know, you said it. It's going to be a long process. It's all about Goff. And to me, that's really what this is all about this season. What can Sean McVay do with Jared Goff to get the arrow pointed at least slightly upward? It doesn't have to be straight up, but they've got to see some progress out of that kid this year.
What was your experience like with the Niners?
It was good. I went out there, and Reuben Foster, while I was out there, there was all this talk about, you know, Reuben intercepting passes, and he had never intercepted a pass at Alabama, and how, you know, he's kind of showcasing this ability to drop into passing lanes. He wasn't just a run thumper. You're talking about a guy who, in terms of just top to bottom college player, if you're ignoring the red flags off the field, was probably the best complete college player in the draft. And, you know, you go out there and now all of a sudden he's picking passes off, and they're extremely excited about him. But you look at the roster, and, you know, there are maybe 7, 8, 9 guys where you go, 3 years from now, when the majority of this roster's turned over, there are only really going to be 7, 8, 9 of these guys are going to be on this roster in 3 years. And I think that's what this is about. I talked to John Lynch, and one of the things that Lynch said to me was, yeah, there's going to be churn. And right now we're not churning the bottom of the roster. We're churning the roster. And that's what really lies ahead for the 49ers. They're going to have a ton of money next offseason. And the quarterback, even though they have Hoyer, probably going to be a multi-year fix. But, you know, this is going to be a slow go of it. I think people are going to have to be patient with this team right now. And we'll see what happens next offseason if Kirk Cousins becomes someone that they could potentially go after in the market. But this is a long-term fix with the 49ers. You're not going to see this team turn around in 1 or 2 years.
I got 45 seconds. Briefly and respectfully, I ask you, did Shanahan wash off that Super Bowl loss like it didn't happen, or do you think he's got demons?
He's not even thinking about it. I talked to him, and it's not even a thought in his head. He has just enough arrogance to be one of those guys that moves on and doesn't even look back. I truly believe that. I think he's arrogant enough to have already forgotten it. I really do believe that.
Wow. I hope the rest of them in Atlanta can do the same thing, because where I come from, they all look like they need shrinks to me after that loss. Charles, great stuff. Great coverage of the NFL camps for us on CBS Sports Radio. Have a terrific weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Always my pleasure.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.